The following program
Hi,
is
I'm Mary
Ellen Hemingway.
And I'm Bobby Williams.
Are you ready to be better and feel younger?
Are you ready to find your true self?
Are you ready to step into the life you were meant to live?
Let's do it together now.
Join us for the Running with Nature show.
Download it now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Learn how to step into your life.
The Running with Nature show.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Are bitcoins the e-currency of the digital age? Do they qualify by any known standard as money? If people are using them, can they be said to be currency? Well, one thing is for sure, bitcoins are simply unavoidable in the financial news. Indeed, they seem to be discussed almost as much as the Federal Reserve itself. We'll talk about bitcoins with Ron Paul when we continue in a moment.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price. It's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Paul, will bitcoins prove to be an enduring alternative to the state's monopoly on money? And if so, is the state actually going to stand by idly and let this challenge or any other challenge to its money monopoly continue to spread?
Well, I'm not sure anybody has a final answer on that. A lot of people do believe that it will be a currency because people are using it for financial transfers, and it may be a convenient vehicle for that. I'm suspicious. I don't fall in the category and say, hey, this is it. This is the solution. This is going to replace the dollar. One time, somebody quoted me in the media saying, I believe that Bitcoin was going to destroy the dollar. And that's not quite my position. But the Bitcoin could be a participant in a process where the dollar destroys itself, or that is, the Federal Reserve policy destroys the dollar, then people have to leave the dollar and go into something else. So when we talk about bitcoins or even gold or commodity prices, we're always talking about the value of the dollar and what's going to happen. And most of us who have been concerned about it realize the dollar is not going to get stronger over time. It's very vulnerable. So people in the electronic age are coming up with these creative schemes to replace it. The reason I'm hesitant to say, hey, this Bitcoin sounds like the answer, is that it's hard for anybody who knows a lot more about Bitcoins than I do to tell me what it really is. You know, if I had to and you had never heard of gold as money, I could show you a gold coin and you could put it in your hand and you could feel it, and then we could look at some history. That's not the case with Bitcoin. But it has functioned for transferring funds around, but it's also very volatile. I mean, the dollar is volatile, gold is volatile, but Bitcoin is even more so. But the main interest I have in it is making sure that it's legal and that if people in the market choose it, they ought to be able to. I've argued a case and introduced legislation for competition in currencies, and this certainly would be something, just because I don't fully understand it, that doesn't mean we should not, you know, should not allow it. The only way the government ought to be involved in this is if somebody's coming up with a pretend currency and they're committing fraud and they're deceiving the people, then I think that's a different story. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. But right now, the Fed hasn't come down hard on Bitcoin, so you wonder what's going on. Why haven't they? Because I am absolutely convinced that the federal government and our central bank does not permit, will not permit competition in currencies. They're not going to let you and I, you know, mint some gold coins and put them out in circulation. You can go to jail for that. So the fact that they've taken a softened stand at this particular time with Bitcoin, it might be that they're able to follow those Bitcoins around pretty well. And evidently with the blockchain, that measures and tells you how these Bitcoin circulate might be a vehicle that they know a lot about, and they were able to, you know, find some people doing drug trades with them. So it must not seem at the moment to be a threat to the Federal Reserve and to our system. But I think that we all can anticipate that we're going to have a dollar crisis because of what we're doing. You just can't create this much new currency and money and credit like our Federal Reserve has without causing a lot of problems. One term that the Fed officials and Treasury always used when we were in committee work with them is they always, if you talk to them about, you know, the devaluation of a currency, inflation going up and problems happening, the value of the dollar going down, they always would say, well, yeah, you're right about that. But just so it's orderly, if it's orderly means that nobody panics. So if you lose 2 or 3% of your value of your currency a year, that's orderly. Matter of fact, that's their goal. They would be delighted with, as measured by the CPI, that your money is losing value at 2 or 3% a year. But it's still wrong. It's been done too often over the course of history. So we have a little bit of history on what people do when the currency gets disorderly, like our continental dollar, or like the Confederate dollar, or like the currency of Vietnam at the end of the war. I mean, they're just dumped. They run from it, and they'll take anything of real value. After World War II, the same thing happened. They would even resort to using cigarettes. Even in our early history, they used tobacco as money. When they can't be confident about something, they go to something of real value. The question, though, with the Bitcoin is, yeah, this is why Bitcoin's around, to offer an alternative. So everybody might be, people will then go to using the Bitcoin. Well, I'm a skeptic on that, but I certainly think it's fascinating. I try to keep up with it the best I can, but I would feel much better having some gold coins in my pocket than a little computer that I can carry around and recover my Bitcoins. I wouldn't feel very secure doing that. And I imagine there are a lot of other people that would feel the same way.
Well, one myth I think that should be exploded for the protection of people that are interested and believe that it's some sort of a crypto cyber currency that creates no trail is that it actually does. In fact, somebody the other day said that it's an accountant's dream because it's, you know, both sides of the ledger, the balance sheet are filled in, and there is nothing in Bitcoin that promises for people that have had enough of the government's plunder to make their transactions totally and securely anonymous.
Yeah, and this might well be why the feds are looking at it carefully and they want to know about it because, you know, one of the motivations for a lot of financial controls has always been to collect taxes, you know, and whether they're sales taxes or income taxes. So this will be something that they're going to be using and watching. Right now, I can't see where this is the solution. To me, this is not the solution to our problems of the monetary system that we face today.
Well, as you've pointed out, a real obstacle to the ongoing prosperity of the American people in the event of a currency crisis or the certainty of a currency crisis is the legal tender laws. We need alternative currencies. 90 years ago, the Germans needed alternative currencies. Many of them survived fairly well using the British pound. People in Zimbabwe needed alternative currencies and used the U.S. dollar, despite its shortcomings, as a superior alternative just 5 years ago. People in Argentina need alternative currencies today. And the legal tender laws in the United States prohibit the development of competing currencies far beyond Bitcoin that can prove themselves in the marketplace over time. So in the event of a dollar crisis, we have legal tender laws that will operate like sand in the gears of commerce. The wheels of commerce can grind to a halt in this country, and really America can be relegated to a second-class commercial status in the process.
Yeah, and I've thought about that. And while in Congress, not only did I have the bill to legalize competing currency along with this, it was to repeal the legal tender law so that you weren't breaking the law. And the other thing that I would have them do, if they would listen to my advice and look at my legislation, it would be that you would have to remove taxes on gold and silver. Let's say that history proves out that gold and silver still will be the option and not Bitcoin. But right now, it's against the law, you know, because of their monopoly, their cartel, and the legal tender laws. But they will need to collect the taxes, and that's how they prevent it. So you want to legalize, you know, the competition. And yet today, of course, if anybody does that, they can get into very, very serious problems.
Well, to sum up, Dr. Paul, it seems to me that there is a perfectly adequate alternative to paper money already, one that has passed the test of time for literally thousands of years. It's one that I prefer. If people would like to test Bitcoins over time with their own money, I'm perfectly happy to let them do it. I'm just not really interested in testing it with my money.
Well, I'll tell you what, the test would take a long time because, you know, the way the Austrian economists explain it, that money has to originate in the marketplace and the people make the choices. Governments just don't sit down and say, well, we're going to print Federal Reserve notes and it's going to become money. No, a currency has to originate in support from the people. But the likelihood of competing with that decision made by millions and millions of people over probably 5,000-6,000 years, the people have always chosen gold. And actually, the breakdown of currencies, inevitably, to get back on their feet again, they'll either pick another currency. Like you mentioned, people would go to the dollar. It's not a gold currency, but it was once a gold currency. And in relative sense, it's a lot better than what they had before. But they will have to go to something else, and they have over the years. So Bitcoin has a long way to go to prove itself, and it could become very fascinating. The whole thing is I'm convinced if it really served as an alternate currency, and the feds wouldn't allow that to happen. I just do not believe they will ever give up on the monopoly. And also, even if it's just a vehicle for transferring funds around the world and convenient, which maybe the market is offering there, you know, you're competing with some banks. You know, if you're using credit cards and things, and that's what that's all about, is you pay bills, you transfer monies around, they're making a couple percentage points on all of that. Well, maybe the Bitcoin would be competing with them, and then you'll see the lobbyists flow to Washington to probably outlaw the Bitcoin and being used. But maybe it's like other things on the internet. Hopefully, it's so big that governments won't be able to regulate people's use of what they can do with the internet.
Maybe so. Well, Dr. Paul, thank you for your insights, an interesting and great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the Weekly Podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.